We're also joined by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Great to be here.
Nellie, we've seen different approaches in the Secretary of State's office. Jim Langevin used it to try and convince the General Assembly to be more transparent. Ralph Moss has been perhaps more of a team player. Which of those approaches would you more emulate if elected Secretary of State?
I think it's not an either or. I think there are opportunities to actually be a leader and to encourage people a path beyond what's the status quo. And I think I'm going to carry that through. There are times when you can be a team leader, but I guess if I had to choose between the two, I would err more on the side of being a leader that actually calls how we need to change things in the state, because clearly that's what people need.
And in Rhode Island, the Secretary of State has some kind of nonpartisan roles in terms of government and elections, but it's also a partisan position. So I wonder, as a Democrat, do you think it's a problem that we have such a lopsided legislature in which Republicans hold only 11 of 113 seats?
You know, I think that the real problem here is one of civic participation. It's not whether it's one party or the other. It's the fact that we need to get more people engaged in participating in our democracy.
That's
something that I've done actually for the last 20 years, going back to when I first arrived here and encouraging people, for example, in the Latino community, explaining how the process works, and then moving up to other organizations like the Women's Fund of Rhode Island and others.
Before we go to Scott, how specifically would you try to ramp up voter participation if elected Secretary of State?
I think that we need to be providing easy to get, easy to use information about how to get government to work for you.
How about something like early voting? It seems a lot of other states have tried to increase turnout through this model of early voting. Rhode Island does not have that.
We actually have it in the way of mail ballots.
Well, kind of.
We kind of do. So we have the ability, if somebody thinks that they're just going to have a crazy week, that week of election week, they can ask for a mail ballot ahead of time and send that in.
Yeah, but you don't have the kind of thing other states have where you have polls open on, say, Sundays or city halls or canvassing authorities where people, because we live in a society where people are working two jobs, different schedules, and we don't make it really more convenient for the voters.
No, I absolutely agree with you. And I think that we have to change the way government is run in the state. And part of that is looking at giving more opportunities for people to exercise the right to vote.
One of the General Assembly's last moves was an action that allows information about bond questions to be removed from the ballot and placed elsewhere in the polling place. Do you support that?
I think that if it makes the ballot easier to read, that might be fine. I think it's hard for people at the polling place when they're right in front of them to read through something that's fairly lengthy and rather complex. I don't have a problem with putting it at the elections polling place area.
The current Secretary of State is your fellow Democrat, Ralph Moss. What kind of a letter grade would you give him for his tenure?
I've given him a B. And I have to say, I really disagree with him on some of the issues that he's championed, like voter ID. I certainly feel that that was not a move in the right direction for the state. But we'll take that on as it goes forward.
Would you support regular audits of filings by lobbyists?
Absolutely. I think that you have to be vigilant and you have to ensure that there is confidence in government. And so audits would be one way to do it. Another way is one of the proposals that I've made in terms of lobbying reform, which is to have a citizen's hotline. If you're reading about something in the paper and you can't find on the Lobby Tracker website either the company or somebody who you think should be registered, then call us up and give us that information or send us an email. And I will be putting that into place. And that's part of that whole auditing constant process.
Both you and your opponent have talked about helping small business in the Secretary of State's office. As we know, an awful lot of the filings that relate to businesses come through that office. What specifically would you do in this realm?
Absolutely. It's very important to make it easier for small businesses. You know, I've actually been in business as well as had to meet the payroll of a small nonprofit. And I can tell you, it is challenging in these times. I would specifically want to be able to provide information to small businesses about what's happening in the economy. If you're going to start a type of business, you should be able to go to the Secretary of State's office and say, whoa, there's a technology sector that's growing, or there's a service sector that's growing. None of that information right now is easy to get or easy to use.
What unnecessary regulations do you think surround the small business that you could cut back or streamline?
Well, the number one thing that I would do is to work with the new governor to make sure that the master application for businesses gets done here. So a lot of the things that have to happen are outside of the realm of the Secretary of State's office. I don't have the power as Secretary of State to cut regulations in other agencies, but I can certainly be in the governor's office and say, look, we have a plan. We have technology that will make it easier for businesses to just register one stop through the Secretary of State's office. We tried to do this 12 years ago. We were only able to get part of the way there. I can definitely finish that job now with new leadership in place.
This week featured the filing deadline for candidates for state and local office, and I wonder if you would support any changes to try and prevent the practice of departing lawmakers handing off their seats to a preferred candidate, or how the process for gathering signatures coincides with the July 4th weekend. Are there any changes you would support to that process?
You know, I think there are ways that we could make it a little bit easier on just regular people who want to run for office. And part of it would be to change the calendar. That's certainly something that we should be looking at.
How about that practice of lawmakers who are leaving, handing off their seats? Should they have to file earlier?
I don't know that makes a lot of sense, in that it should be a level playing field for everybody. The chances are, I mean, that's the kind of behavior that's very hard to stop. What you have to do is to level the playing field for everybody. And giving everybody the chance to be able to raise the signatures that they need and get themselves in front of the voters is really, I think, the way to tackle that.
You know, a lot of states don't have the primary so close to the general election as we have. I remember Bill Lynch, when he was the Democratic state chairman, thought that we should do a June primary like California does, like New Jersey, some other states. We have our primaries in September. There's just 6-7 weeks to go to the general election. What do you think about
that? No, I think that would be a really good thing to look at. I think that giving more time, a little bit more of a breather, it's not like we're going to increase the calendar all that much more. I mean, the truth of the matter is people are out of the gate a year ahead of the election regardless. So to make it easier for just common folk to put in their hat and to run for office is, I think, a really important thing to do.
Are you taking any sides in the Democratic primary for governor?
Absolutely not.
I remember how former Secretary of State Matt Brown, who you once worked for, telling me when he was a candidate that he wanted to do something about the annual practice in which the General Assembly passes hundreds of bills in the last week of session. I'm not aware of any tangible steps he took about that, and it's probably very difficult to change. Is that realistic to think that process can change?
No, I don't think so. I think we always have to be looking at ways to improve government and the way it works. So I don't think it's impossible. It's just we need to think of other ways of possibly
such as
working. Well, I mean, part of it has to do with the leadership, and you have to engage leadership in a conversation, ongoing conversation, not just during that time period, about what can happen and what can change. Certainly, the way the Access Report is done, which is the one that tracks, you know, the meeting of deadlines for these things, is one that we need to look at again and say, okay, they're meeting. Actually, things have changed for the better in the legislature for most of the session compared to what it was 10 years ago. Now we have to look at that last 48 hours and see. I mean, I don't think the legislators honestly like it any more than we do. And I think that that's an important thing to look at and see, okay, are there other ways that we can either track it or help them figure out a way to do things differently?
What can the state do on campaign finance? It looks like the federal courts have really put up huge roadblocks to transparency. What do you think, as far as legislation, you could recommend that would give Rhode Islanders at least some kind of a decent window into who's financing both campaigns and things like lobbying campaigns, the pension thing that was brought there? How do we deal with that?
Yeah, as you know, campaign finance reform is the purview of the Board of Elections. And I agree with you. I mean, money in politics has really taken off in a really bad way. I'm running because I want government to be as transparent as possible, and that's going to be a number one priority in my administration. I personally have been very transparent about my own finances, and I'm the only one in this race to have actually done that. And so,
when you mean that, you mean you release your tax returns?
My tax returns, that's right. So you can see where I'm coming from and where it's going. I think absolute transparency and really showing that we can track where the money is coming from is absolutely key in order to restore people's faith in government.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Thank you.
And Democratic candidate for Secretary of State, Nellie Gorbea.
Thank you.